Denise Levertov writes in a poem on the mystery of the incarnation. It's when we face for a moment the worst our kind can do and shudder to know the taints in our own selves that awe cracks the mind's shell and enters the heart. There are two ways to tell the story of the three kings or the magi, one shaped for children and one better suited to adults. We're probably better prepared to tell the one that's delivered to children as we grew up with it as well. This is the story where three kings, though it doesn't say that, does it? Let's point that out. Who came from afar bringing gifts for the newborn king. And there's a wonder and a magic about the Magi led to Jesus from a distant east by a star. And it testifies, doesn't it, to the global and cosmic implications of Jesus' birth. Even more so, it witnesses to God's commitment to reach all the world with the news of God's redeeming love. But there's also another element to this story, the note of fear and opposition that Jesus' birth instills in the hearts and the minds of others. Herod is afraid, and not just Herod. In verse 3 of Matthew's Gospel, all Jerusalem with him, it says. Perhaps it's because the one thing the powerful seek more than anything else is to remain in power. There doesn't seem to be a hint of the kind of servant leadership prescribed and required by Israel's prophets. The memory that God placed them in their positions to serve rather than to be served isn't evident. Herod seeks his own ends, and so is immediately threatened by even the mere mention of a rival king. What exactly is the threat? The arrival of the stargazers signals that the reach of God's embrace is broadening, that there is no longer insider or outsider, Jew or Gentile, but all are including God's plan of salvation. This isn't a new theme in Judaism, of course, because at the very beginning of Genesis, of God's story in the world, God promises to bless Abraham that he may in turn bless the world. And now it's happening. All distinctions between these different sects of people, these different ethnicities and religions are falling away. And who knows what else was going to happen? What was whizzing through Herod's mind? The good news for all, unless you have power and you're not willing to relinquish control, like Herod, along with his chief priests and scribes, is that the Messiah is here for us. We, from a distant land, we follow the call of God that tugs on our hearts this Epiphany. Jesus was born for us. But of course, it's not the only time that the chief priests and scribes and Herod conspire to find the Messiah and kill him. They won't succeed at the time of his birth, but much later in the story, of course, they will again. There will again be an unholy alliance between the political and religious leaders of the day, who will not only conspire against Jesus, but capture and crucify him. It seems particularly relevant this year to mention that so early in January, because Lent is just around the corner. So from the beginning of Jesus' life, there's a cloud of murder that hangs ominously close to him. And this adult version of Matthew's nativity moves quickly from the glad moment of adoration and gifts that the Magi bring to a darker, more ambivalent world of political intrigue, deception, fear-induced violence. But if Matthew's account is more sober, it's also realistic. Matthew renders an accurate, if harsh, picture of the world. Matthew's nativity is not about trying to turn the world into a pleasant image that can be reproduced on a Christmas card. But it is direct. It's directed more to highlighting just what kind of world that God is entering into. Our world, still full of brokenness. That's the world that God enters into. How kind, how generous, how amazing is that? Matthew's more adult-oriented story of Jesus' birth is about the promise that it is precisely this world that God came to. This people. To their hearts and to ours. It's a world still mastered by fear, where we do the unthinkable to each other and even to ourselves. That's the world that God loves and chooses to enter. The Christmas season, then, Epiphany, illustrates God with us. The living, breathing, and vulnerable promise that God chooses to come, live, and die for us as we are. And that news, as was suggested by the poet I quoted earlier, is awesome because it should crack even the hardest shell of the human soul and let light in. How has this darker season been for you when the nights have drawn in? You've huddled down. That might be a physical reaction, but what's happening in yourself? Do you need to open up and let Jesus in and his light this Epiphany? Amen.